This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Monday, the 6th of July, 2020. This is Stuck at Home. My name is Bex. I am joined by a returning champ, my Fun Kids friend, an actual personal real life friend, Connor. Hi, Con.
I love the fact that you let me know that I'm still your personal real life friend, Bex. That makes me happy.
Well, not just you, but all the listeners, because you've not been here for a week, Connor. I just need to remind people.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a busy week. We'll get into that in a little bit, but I've had stuff going on, Bex.
You've had a lot on, that's fine. I had Dan for the whole week, so it's nice to hear a different voice, to be honest. All right, so in this episode, Connor and I will give you a few things to do now that everybody is getting back to normal. I chat to someone from The Week Junior about what is going on in the world right now. Marina Ventura is back! And most importantly, I'm going to be having a chat to Children's Laureate and author of The Wizards of Once and How to Train Your Dragon, Cressida Cowell. So quite a lot of stuff to pack into today's show. Anyway, we are stuck at home right now, just like you might be, recording this podcast from our houses. And this weekend, lockdown rules have changed. So we want to hear what you're planning to do now that things are slowly getting back to normal. All you've got to do to get in touch is send a message to funkidslive.com/stuck. So in the meantime, Connor, tell me, what have you been back to normal? Things have been slowly edging back, I guess, for the last maybe one or two days. How have you celebrated?
They have been edging back over the last couple of days. And it's been exciting, hasn't it? It has been nice, I think, after this long time of being stuck at home, to have a little bit of normality back. And of course, the first thing that I'd done was book a haircut, Bex.
Now, you've been talking about this for, I think, to be honest, even before lockdown started, Connor, you were talking about getting a haircut. So you must be very excited.
Well, very, very excited. I mean, I have short hair anyway. My hair is short and I feel like I get my hair cut maybe every 2 or 3 weeks in the normal world. So going 3 months without a trim has been it's been quite difficult, and my hair has gone a bit wild. So that was a very exciting thing for me on Saturday. It was just really nice, and it was just nice to see my barber and just talk to somebody other than my friends and family for a bit, Bex. It was just really enjoyable, and I mean that in the nicest way possible.
I was going to say, I won't tell them you said that. So, Connor, have you not been having a little lockdown home haircut in the meantime? Have you, or has that fringe totally gone past your eyes now?
I had like a few little trim ups around the ears and stuff like that, just to make it a little bit more comfortable. But I just don't really trust my mum to cut my hair. So I was just waiting, and I was really looking forward to my hair getting like super long and going for that first cut. And honestly, Bex, it was so worth it.
In my head right now, you've got a very you had a 70s vibe beforehand, like really long shaggy hair.
I did. It was kind of like a 70s 80s vibe. My mum said, oh, I could fit in Greece perfectly. So I was like, mum, get the leather jacket, let's get this going. I'm well up for this. I'm happy to sing and dance. But it was so good to get a haircut. And you know, this is something that, I know this is really strange to say, but this is something you can get up to now. The barbers are open. But do remember, and I have to be so clear on this, as much as things are starting to ease back to normal, we do need to remain safe, don't we, Bex? That's so important. I don't think, you know, it's a case of just life is normal again. Let's remain at the social distancing measures, and we need to stay safe still.
Yeah, I think lots of places have put precautions in place. I know my local hairdressers have put more screens up to keep everyone a bit separated, because I'm still waiting for my haircut, Connor. If you could see me right now, you'd say, who is that mad professor? Oh, no, wait, it's Bex. So I think everything is slowly getting back to normal, but social distancing is still a thing. You seem in a good mood, Connor. You seem pretty chipper.
I am in a good mood. So what have you been up to? Make my mood better. I'm sure you've made something with some random people somewhere in the world.
All right, well, I've been trying to figure out how to do a homemade terrarium.
Is that an algorithm for something, Bex? Like, what is that? That isn't even a word.
No, it's not an algorithm at all. So a terrarium is like an aquarium, but with plants instead of fish.
Oh, God, honestly. How have you thought of this? Where has this come from? Please, I'm intrigued. So tell me more about your terrarium.
Terrarium, that's it. So I don't know about you, but I love a bit of plants, a bit of wildlife, but I'm also not great at keeping plants alive. But this is quite a nice way of having some plants in your bedroom, and it's super easy. So all you really need is some kind of glass jar or like a glass bowl or like, yeah, a little mini aquarium. And then in the bottom, you put in some small rocks or some pebbles. Then you put some soil on top. Get a bit of moss maybe if you've got that. Maybe some charcoal, just kind of keep it like damp. And then you can put in any plants you would like. I've got some succulents, so I'm going to put those succulents in. And you can also put some wildlife in there. But my favourite thing about it is you could change it depending on the seasons. So, for example, maybe you want to put in some fairy tale themed stuff in there. You could put in some little fairies that you've got maybe as toys. You could put in Lego men. You could put in some little wooden ladybirds if you've got some of those. At Easter, you could put in a little fuzzy chick. You could put in some cars. You could put in some animals. At Halloween, you could theme it around creepy crawlies, or you know, put some Halloween toys in there. And at Christmas, you can put in mini Christmas decorations. It's a fun way of having something like little and alive in the corner of your room and keeping it going, but also decorating it whenever you want to.
And it's also another thing that brightens your bedroom. You know, it makes it a little bit newer, a bit like me moving my bed. You know, it's something new, isn't it?
Exactly. And you can see things growing and things like changing through the seasons. And it doesn't take a lot. Like if you've got some succulents in there, it's not a lot of water, to be honest. Or maybe take some little plants from your back garden and then just some nice bright flowers, really. So the terrarium is basically a way of adding a bit of life to your room or your bedroom. And it just makes it really fun. And like I say, decorating it in whatever theme you want is always going to be good.
Yeah, I would love to see the pictures of these terrariums. Honestly, I've never heard of this before, Bex, but it gets me really excited and I don't know why.
I'm glad I could cheer you up, Connor.
So it's the time of the show where we listen to a Fun Kids mini-series. And today we're listening to Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure. So do you know how marine life affects the oceans? Well, today we find out. I'm excited for that, Bex. Are you excited for that?
Absolutely.
Wonderful stuff. So do listen closely to this episode, because at the end of Stuck at Home, we are giving you a quiz.
Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure, supported by the Natural Environment Research Council, the science of the natural world.
Hello, Marina Ventura here, continuing my ocean adventure. Today I'm at Dover next to the famous White Cliffs to find out the effect marine life has on the oceans and the environment.
There'll be blue.
Now that song doesn't say anything about fish, but fish have something to do with these white cliffs. Can you guess what? Poo! Fish poo, in fact. Scientists recently made a rather surprising discovery. It turns out fish poo releases large amounts of calcium carbonate into the oceans, and scientists think that's the stuff these cliffs are made of, along with billions of crushed shells of tiny sea creatures. Clever, huh? Ooh, the sun's coming out. I might have a paddle. I said a paddle. Silly. The smell of the seaside is great, isn't it? So fresh and salty. The chemicals that make the seaside smell the way it does is called dimethyl sulfide, or DMS, and it's a gas produced by seaweed and plankton. Now, DMS might not sound very exciting, but as well as making seaside smells, this gas also causes clouds to form and acts as a chemical signpost for seals, birds, and even tiny crustaceans, helping them to find food. How amazing is that?
You have reached your destination.
Well, a bit like that. It's easy to see why scientists are really interested in finding out what other cool stuff this cunning chemical can do. Other gases given off by marine life aren't as helpful. Isoprene is a less friendly gas. It is thought to cause more ozone to be around in our air, and that can lead to health problems. Let's see if MAPAP, the electronic essential for every explorer, has any more facts. It's in my rucksack. Hang on. That's not it. I thought I packed it near the top. Oh, I wondered where my snowshoes had gone. Won't need those today. Got it.
Hello. Ah, a day on the beach. Where's my ice cream?
Hope you can help us, MAPAP. Can you tell us any other unusual ways that marine life affects the environment?
Sure can. Here's a clue. All oceans on Earth share the same water. It all gets mixed up. Not with a blender, but by wind, tides, and differences in saltiness and the climate. But there is a theory that there is something else helping to churn it all about. Things that swim. Not you in your armbands, but whales, fish, and even plankton. Trouble is that it's impossible to measure all that movement. The best we can do is use satellites to measure levels of energy in phytoplankton. They're at the bottom of the food chain and can help give us an idea of the energy in the ocean.
Amazing! Well, I'm off for a dip, so I'll see you next time when we'll look at how humans affect the oceans. Toodle-pip, adventurers!
Marina Ventura's Ocean Adventure, a Fun Kids production in association with the Natural Environment Research Council. The science of the natural world.
So do go on more adventures with Marina Ventura by searching for Marina Ventura, Kids Guide to Our Planet, wherever you're listening to this. So three questions on what you've just heard coming up at the end of Stuck at Home. So do stay with us.
All right, it's time to zoom over to the week junior. Today, I am chatting to editor Felicity. Felicity, what story do you have for us?
Hi, Bex. So my story is that yesterday, the UK celebrated 72 years of the National Health Service with a big thank you to all the carers who are fighting the coronavirus.
So how did we celebrate?
There was a big clap for our carers, which, as many people listening will know, took place during the first 10 weeks of lockdown, when people would go out on Thursday evenings at 8 o'clock and clap and bang their pots and pans and set off fireworks. And yesterday at 5 o'clock was the final clap for our carers, when everyone went out and clapped away and made loads of noise just to say thank you so much and how much we appreciate all these heroic people who have put their lives at risk to look after those who are sick.
I guess this was like a super big finale, but kind of sad to see it go, because it's been such a lovely thing to celebrate every week.
It's been really lovely, but actually the good news is that from now on, every single year there'll be an annual event where we clap for our carers and remember about the amazing work that they do. So it's certainly not the last one.
And no excuse then, we can't put the pots and pans away too soon, because we'll bring them out again next year to hit them.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant stuff. Well, thank you, Felicity, and I'll see you next year for the big clap.
See you next year. Bye.
So on Friday, I was absolutely thrilled because I got to chat to Children's Laureate and just all-round legend and hero, Cressida Cowell, about her brand new summer camp project. Here's what happened.
Hello, hi.
Oh my goodness. Now, a lot of our listeners will know you as the author of How to Train Your Dragon and The Wizards of Once, but they might not know you've got...
And the illustrator. I have to say, I do all the pictures as well.
You know what? I was going to ask you about that, because...
I have to say that.
I've been interested in this, because I noticed for... So you're here to chat about your new summer camp, and I saw the logo,
yeah.
Cressida's Creativity Summer Camp, and I did wonder whether you'd drawn that yourself.
Yes, I have. Yeah, I do all the pictures, and my books are for older children, but they're heavily illustrated. Loads of pictures. I'm all about trying to make books and reading as exciting and joyful as possible for kids. So the illustrations are really important. So the plots are, you know, exciting and a lot of fun, but also there's loads of illustrations. And so this summer camp is all about reading and books, but also lots of drawing, lots of chances for kids to join in.
So we should say the summer camp is happening right now. It's for this week only. We don't have to be there in person. So can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, it's going to be all week, but all the videos will stay up. I'll say that just in case you miss a day or miss a video. It's all week. There's so many good things going on. So on Monday, we've got Inspiring Magic Ideas. We've got Liz Pichon, who wrote Tom Gates. We've got David Armand, Chris Waddell, Dapo Adeola. They're all talking about where their inspiration came from. You know, Liz is going to be talking about how she got the idea for Tom Gates. Then we're launching a Laureate Gallery, where we're going to be showing notebooks of people like Michael Morpurgo and Lauren Child and But the Laureate Gap Gallery, and this is really important, kids can submit their own work. So they can submit all their own work. So we can, and that's going to be up for the whole of my laureateship, so that we can showcase kids' ideas, their characters, their ideas for stories, as well as showing, you know, people like Michael Morpurgo and me and Lauren Chart and what we've done. Yeah. So that's the plan.
So yeah, the whole point of this week is to give you some activities and things to do and some kind of inspiration, I guess, to go off and make your own adventure stories.
Absolutely. So yeah, Monday is inspiring magic ideas. Tuesday is the drawing day. So we're going to be doing drawing demonstrations because I know kids love drawing and it's just draw alongs. So we've got a wonderful draw along from Rob Bidolf, who's going to be doing an art class. And then you can copy. I used to love copying when I was a kid. I used to always try and copy Snoopy and all of these. and we've got Nadia Shireen and Marta Altez and Sarah McIntyre. They're all going to be doing drawing classes and master classes. Wednesday, we've got poetry and performance. So we've got something for every day. We've got Young People's Laureate for London, Teresa Lola, leading a poetry workshop because some kids love poetry as well, older kids as well. Laura Dockrell, Joshua Segal, Joseph Kolo, they're all going to be doing poetry readings. And I'm going to get to read Michael Rosen, some of his poems. You know,
oh,
Michael
wow.
Rosen. Yes,
that's awesome.
I know. They're letting me read his poems. I'm really pleased. And then on Thursday, we've got Reading Aloud Around the World. So I'm going to be joined, because I love reading aloud. And in fact, I'm reading, I set up a YouTube channel at the beginning of lockdown, which I had to be advised by my son on how to set it up because we were all in lockdown. And I'm reading a chapter a day of How to Train Your Dragon.
Fab.
Yes, because I love reading aloud and it's all free. Everything is free. The summer camp is free and going on my YouTube channel, just putting Cresta Cowell, is free because I just think reading aloud is just great to listen to things being read aloud. And it's just nice to have something fun for lockdown, something, and I wouldn't normally be allowed to do that, you see. And so I'm reading aloud every day a chapter and I'm thinking, how far am I going? I'm now on book five of how to, thinking, can I do the full 12 by the end of lockdown? But on next Thursday, I'm going to be reading all. We've got all these children's laureate from around the world. They're all going to be reading aloud. So I'm really excited about that. Something to join in with people around the world. So we've got Jason Reynolds, who's a US laureate. Eloise Williams, who's the Welsh laureate. You know, Irish laureate, Australian, Netherlands laureate. So that's going to be wonderful. And on to Friday the 10th of July, next Friday, we've got the final day. We've got Owen Colfer, you know, who wrote Artemis Fowl,
yeah.
Patrice Lawrence and Francesca Simon. Francesca Simon wrote Horace Henry. We've got Shana Jackson, Zanib Mayan. They're all going to be doing a masterclass with lots of story starters, ideas and advice on creating characters and how to build an imaginary world. Because I just know that kids are so into building imaginary worlds and it's just lovely for them to have tips on how to do it for the rest of the summer. That's the plan. And then to wrap up, we have a live event with wonderful Frank Cottrell Boyce and Anjali Ralph, where we're going to be answering as many questions as possible. So we want everybody to send in their questions. I think the hashtag is Cressida's Summer Camp, Cressida Summer Camp, with that hashtag, and then you can submit your drawings to maybe go in the Laureate Gallery, but also ask creativity questions. There's so much going on.
So you mentioned all of this amazing talent. How do you get them? Do you put like a little writer's bat signal in the air? Do they come to you? Because there's so many names.
I know. Well, it's a close community. You know, we all know each other. We all meet at all these amazing festivals and we're all very supportive. But, you know, the children's books community and illustrating and poet community is a very, very close one. And everybody's supporting each other because we all care desperately, not only about our own books, but also about getting children reading, about the importance of reading and how, I mean, I love film. I mean, I've had wonderful films made out of my my books. I'm so lucky. But we all in the children's book world, we all want to get children reading with as much joy as they watch telly and film. That's and so that really brings us all together. So I know most of these people, not so much the international laureates. I haven't met them, but all, you know, the children's book world, it's a very close world. And so I'm definitely. And then Book Trust as well. Book Trust is the charity that I work with, and they're an amazing charity. So they also, I'm organising it with their help as well. Yes, it's just great to have the opportunity to do this, because I think we really need it. I think children really, I'm hoping to get children reading and writing for the joy of it over the summer. And I think we really need it. I think children need it. So you can get in touch by going on the Book Trust website. So you just put in Book Trust into your browser, or you can go childrenslaureate.org.uk, or you can go on my YouTube channel, and I'll be posting directions to where to go, which is just Cresta Cowell, or Cresta Cowell Official, if you just put that into YouTube. So there's lots of ways to access it. And if you want to contribute, because we want children to contribute, you can do that on, or get an adult actually to do it for you. If it's on social media, probably you have to, you go on with the hashtag Cressida Summer Camp. So you can contribute your questions. We've got, on the last day, we're going to be answering questions, your children's questions, about creativity, about writing or drawing. But also, if you want to contribute your drawings, I think the hashtag will be Cressida Summer Camp.
Well, I'm pretty sure they will do now. Thank you, Cressida. Thank you so much for talking to us. And hopefully all of our listeners will get involved just heading to childrenslaureate.org.uk and to find you on Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else. And hopefully we'll speak to you very soon for your next and last, I guess, Wizards of Wands book.
Thank you. Have a lovely summer.
Okay, Bex, let's find out how much everybody has learned from Marina Ventura and her dive into the ocean. So remember that if you want to go on more adventures with Marina, just search for her name. It's Marina Ventura, wherever you're listening to this. Bex, you ready for a quiz?
I surely am. Let's go for it.
Right, let's get into it. I'll open up with the first question. Where was Marina today? Nice, simple one. Was it A, the White Cliffs of Dover, B, Land's End, or C, John O'Groats?
Question number two. Fish poo releases large amounts of which substance into the ocean? Is it A, dimethyl sulfide? Is it B, calcium carbonate? Or is it C, isoprene?
And the final question for you today, true or false? All oceans on Earth share the same water. Is it true or is that false?
All right, let's head back and get those answers, shall we, Connor?
I would like that, Bex. I feel like this has been a good quiz. Kind of easy today as well. If you haven't got 3 out of 3 here, you haven't been listening properly.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's big words.
Yeah, big words. So, first one, where was Marina today? A, the White Cliffs of Dover. Simple.
Question two, fish poo releases large amounts of which substance into the ocean? Well, it wasn't isoprene, and it wasn't dimethyl sulfide, which I've only just learned about today and only know how to pronounce it because it sounds like a dime bar and a person called Ethel. No, it was calcium carbonate. So that is what the White Cliffs of Dover are made of. Dimethyl sulfide is what makes the seaside smell the way it does, and isoprene is a less friendly gas, which can make it harder to breathe.
Oh, I feel like I'm smelling dimethyl sulfide right now, Bex. I love that seaside smell.
I know, I never knew that's what it was called, but you learn a new thing every day.
You do indeed. I can't wait to get on a beach and just shout out, oh, the dimethyl sulfide. Isn't it lovely, people?
Gotta love the dimethyl.
Right, let's round up the quiz. True or false? All oceans on Earth share the same water. It's true.
Awesome. Well, hopefully, yeah, like Connor said, you got 3 out of 3. If you didn't, don't worry about it. We've got more questions for you tomorrow. Of course we do. That's pretty much it for today's podcast. And remember, if you are stuck at home like us, give those things a go we mentioned earlier. Perhaps you have got a brand new haircut. Send us a picture. Or maybe you've made a terrarium, or perhaps you've already got one. Tell me all about it. And tell Connor about it too, because he doesn't really know what they are. Anyway, that is it for today's show. So goodbye from Connor.
It's goodbye from me. Thanks for the education today, Bex. I've learned a lot from you.
Yeah, no worries. Goodbye from me. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get this podcast from. And you can hear more from us tomorrow. Bye.
So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.
I'm an aficionado.
I'm a sneakerhead.
I'm a foodie.
Gamer.
I'm a gym rat.
There are many names for enthusiast.
A fashionista.
But there's only one way to become one. By going all in. The new Lexus IS is our obsession. Relentlessly engineered and designed to be the most responsive IS ever. It's what we call going all in on the sports sedan. The new 2021 Lexus IS. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Click the banner to discover more.